This is the alternative media, exposing government corruption, defending our suspended constitution, demanding the rights of we the people, broadcasting the truth the puppet media dare not report. Long live liberty and death to the new world order. Prepare yourself. This is the alternative media.
Hello and welcome to the Alternative Media. This is your Saturday broadcast where we discuss current events, politics, the disinformation, lies, deceit, and propaganda, the mainstream corporate-owned puppet media, and the fact that the federal government of the United States no longer has any resemblance whatsoever of representation of we the people. It is Saturday, March 23rd, 2019. We're in hour one of the broadcast, and I've got a lot of news and information I want to go through today. Some of it I will practically guarantee you may not be aware of. And so with that said, it's probably going to be later in the second hour before we're able to go to phone calls, which we will absolutely do because I want to hear from some of you on many of these topics that we're going to be getting into today. A couple of programming notes. 2 weeks from today, Augustus Evictus, April 6th, will be joining me. And we're going to be talking about a whole range of topics, and some of it will be Robert J. Matthews and the Order. Augustus Evictus has done a lot of work with regards to the history of this event and, of course, current events as well. We'll be getting into that. Other news, of course, everyone alive, keeping up with any news, knows the Mueller report, whatever. Was released yesterday afternoon. Probably not going to spend any time on that. Tucker Carlson did a great clip. I've got the clip. We may play it, but I doubt we'll have time. Some of the topics we're going to get into. Congress is going to hold hearings into the rise of white nationalism. This past week, Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas said if she was elected president, she would direct the DOJ to investigate and prosecute white nationalist. I thought that was, and we'll be getting into that further. Also, this past Monday, I think when credit's due, Frank from North Carolina made it onto the Alex Jones show, and I think it's the longest phone call I've ever heard from, you know, not a scheduled guest, but an actual listener that I've ever heard AJ do. It was probably well over 20 minutes, I think, through at least two different commercial breaks. And hats off, he carried the torch. I'm here to tell you, that was well tactfully and well done. So that was Monday. If you want to look into that, got a ton of emails in the last 2 weeks. I've not been able to respond to but a fraction of them. It's really, really, really been on the rise. A good thing. I just haven't had time to respond, but it's kind of been overwhelming. But anyway, thank you for everyone that's been in contact. So, all right. The shooting happened last week, last Friday, and I didn't do the broadcast last Saturday. So we're going to have to start with what happened in New Zealand. Now, I want to say before we get started into this, I went into this with a complete unbiased mind. In fact, from watching what I saw on television, I immediately assumed that this was a legitimate, completely legitimate attack. Nothing unusual out of the way. This happened the way they were portraying it. That's what my first inclinations were. Since then, I've watched the videos, I've read the manifesto, and we'll get into that here shortly. Activist Post, though, ran a story this past week. New Zealand police happened to be in a training session when the mosque shooting began. This is a Matt Agarist story. It took police officers in New Zealand 36 minutes to catch the terrorist who murdered 50 people in two Christchurch mosques last week. Dramatic footage shows that just two officers, only one of whom had a gun, apprehended the suspect after the bloody rampage. We're now learning that this response time would have been longer, but police happened to be conducting a drill nearby, practicing for, yes, you guessed it, a similar attack. In what can be described as an extremely strange coincidence, Chris Cahill, a detective inspector who is president of a local labor union for police officers explained that officers were involved in a drill near the city center when the shooting broke out. Again, I'm reading from the activist post, which, guess what, now is quoting the New York Times. This is according to the New York Times. The police said that a special armed tactical unit arrived at the Al-Noor Mosque 4 minutes after the first officer, or 10 minutes after the initial emergency call. Again, the New York Times, Mr. Cahill said it normally would have taken longer with team members summoned to a police station to suit up, but on Friday they happened to be in a training session in the city center and already wearing, guess what, all of the gear. Any police force in the world to get to the scene in 6 minutes, a specialist team there in 10, that would be a success, Mr. Cahill said. Police in New Zealand don't typically carry firearms, much less dress in tactical gear, so officers holding a drill with all their tactical equipment and weapons at the ready was quite a helpful coincidence indeed, he said. For those who may be unaware, the significance of the drill is important due to the fact that most major terror attacks in recent history have coincided with drills very similar to the actual terrorism that unfolds. In November of 2015, during the tragic attacks on Paris, it was later reported that Paris area emergency personnel and ambulance crews were taking part in a simulated emergency exercise on the very same day. The exact nature of the drill was a simulated mass shooting attack, according to Dr. Matthew Rocks, emergency room chief at the, and I'm going to probably butcher this one, the Petit-Salpêtre Hospital in Paris. Also, during the 9/11 attacks on the U.S. North American Aerospace Defense Command, NORAD was in the midst of a training exercise called Vigilant Guardian, which coincidentally simulated planes being hijacked by terrorists. So, in case that's news to anyone, I wanted to share that. Now, this has been the most widespread blatant internet censorship ever this past week that I've ever seen. Okay, the website that had the manifesto has been taken down. Let's just talk a little bit about the manifesto. Okay, I read the entire manifesto. The manifesto was very lucid. It explained very clearly his position on this. I'm not defending what he done. I'm not condoning what he done, if he done it. We'll get to that shortly. But what I'm saying is, the name of the manifesto was The Great Replacement. Okay, and it outlined in detail, it really made the case for his belief system of what was happening. He had, it goes through in detail, you know, 74 pages. I'm going to take 5 minutes explaining it to you. He had traveled through Paris and much of Europe. He had saw the demographic changes. He had he witnessed firsthand the broad move by the tyrannical governments in Europe to bring in people from third world countries and Muslims, the buildings of mosques, and he witnessed the clash of civilizations, the chaos, the strife that this brings to the community, which is all a part, again, of the recipe. It's all by design. This is obviously, you know, you'd have to be completely a moron to believe that this is not intentional. But he laid out the case very much in detail about the demographic changes, the birth rates of the native populations, and where this would be going, you know, absolutely in the future, where this could only go. He also made the case for the various attacks, if you remember them, in Nice, France, the running over of the civilian population. He laid out the rapes, the grooming gangs. I mean, he went through this in 74 pages. He went through this in detail. He really laid out articulately his case against what is happening to, as he put it, his people in these countries. Okay, that's the manifesto. Then you go to the video. You go to the video, and I heard John Stattmiller commenting on this the other night here on RBN. One, now, the videos, you know, those that's in the chat room, the alternative media chat, tango.com, you may have access to the videos. Where I was watching the videos, they're all gone. We'll get back to the concerted effort to completely censor this here shortly. But And I do know where you can, where the videos can be located at. But anyway, that's up to you. You have to do some of your own homework. Find the videos yourself if you want to watch them. One, there's the video of he is shooting his semi-automatic rifle on the sidewalk. Okay, you can't make this stuff up. You would expect, you know, you see the shells ejecting. Anyone that shot a semi-automatic rifle knows that when the shells eject, they eject to the right. They tend to fall into a pattern. If you're on concrete, which normally, you know, I'm on dirt, but anyway, they bounce around a little bit. I would assume on concrete, if you stood there and shot like he did, what looked like, you know, 25, 40 rounds, they would fall into a pattern of maybe, I don't know, anybody's guess is as good as mine, but 8 foot diameter, perhaps, you know, 8 foot diameter bouncing around on concrete. The shell casings actually disappear midair. Okay. That's John Statmiller's seen it. I've heard Jeff Rentz comment on this. Others, you know, it's not just me. Hopefully you've seen it too. When we get to the phones later in the broadcast, you can give me your opinion. If you've seen this, you can say whatever, but that was part of the video. Now here's the other thing. Now, I watched the shooting in the mosque. These are all my opinions. And again, I went into this looking at this, hopefully, that it would just all make complete sense for once. You know, I like two and two to make four, okay? The Las Vegas massacre made absolutely no sense. You know, we could go back through a whole bunch more. You remember the Virginia newscaster that was shot, I don't know when it was, a couple of years ago. The video of that made absolutely no sense. You know, so many of these events, they've got these anomalies or these phenomenon that defies logic. All right, inside the mosque, here's what I saw. Only about 2 out of 50 people shot, or however many, I didn't count them, bled. Extreme absence of blood. I mean, you know, you would think it would be a gory, bloody mess in there. It wasn't. The other thing that struck me about it was he's firing all over in this mosque. This mosque looks like it's plaster inside. It's either concrete or plaster. It's not sheetrock. And you would think when the bullets hit the walls, one, they'd make holes in the walls, and two, they would, you know, you'd see like maybe a puff or cloud of the concrete or the plaster busting off. You know, and instead of it having a hole in the wall the size of the bullet, it'd have a bigger hole because, you know, some of the plaster or concrete, whichever it was, would, you know, would chip off or come off the wall. And, you know, then, of course, it would be a different color than the painted wall, which was painted white. I didn't see any of that. Now, so I've had some people say, well, the video's a little bit, you know, uncrisp. It's not that clear. Okay, I'll give you that. But what, 50, 75 rounds shot into them walls? Not one bullet hole that I could make out? Okay, that's just me, my opinion. After the first entry, he comes back in and shoots the place all again. Now, then you can see the casings that are falling on the green floor. They show up there, okay? The other thing, when he was in the car, it looked to me like he shot his shotgun twice into his windshield, and the windshield didn't have a hole in it, you know? Now, I've not heard anyone comment on this unless he was shooting some blanks there or whatever. Then he turns and shoots out his side window, and it busts. You know, it looked to me like he shot twice into his windshield, and windshield didn't bust. So, you know, this is just some of my take of the video that I've seen. Now, let's move to, this thing has been censored like we've never seen before. Do you remember back on September 11th, 2001, when the Twin Towers was hit by planes? How many times, if you watched the news that day, I wonder how many times the average person saw the towers fall. Hey, they even showed the people jumping off the buildings. How heinous is that? But to act like this is they're protecting us for our own good from being able to see or read any of this, you know, that's blatant censorship. Blatant censorship. Now, I can understand they maybe would try to make the argument, well, this will incite and inflame the Muslim community. You know, we can't let them see this. Well, you didn't have any problem letting everyone see when they were running people over with trucks. You know, you don't have any problem letting them know that these grooming gangs are taking place. I mean, you don't want Tommy Robinson, who I'm not a fan, and that's not his real name. You know, you don't want any of the record of the grooming gangs that are in court. And none of that can be reported if you're even standing outside the courtroom in Ungrate and film that. You know, they use that as some sort of pretext to put Tommy Robinson, who I'm not a fan, in jail. I mean, this Well, let's move into what's actually happening. Listen to this. This is BBC News. Seven people have been arrested for hate crimes in Greater Manchester over the Christchurch mosque shootings. Greater Manchester police have received 11 reports of offensive behavior related to the attack, with nine of them online. Two of the arrests were for racially aggravated public order offenses involving a taxi driver. Russ Jackson, assistant chief constable, said arrests were mostly of stirring up racial hatred or malicious communications. In one example, a man used truly offensive words to describe Muslims, hoping that they would die, and saying the attacker is a hero. He added, the tiny number of people who chose to make horrible comments are isolated. Put simply, it's time for some decency, some understanding, and some tolerance. Now, this story goes on. Sean Allen, 33, Nady Redmond, 34, are charged with racially aggravated public order offenses. Mr. Allen from Columburst will appear at the Manchester Magistrates Court on April 9th. Now, this story goes on and goes on, but what it's saying is, because of comments people made online, and we're going to get to, I know some of you know, Zero Hedge, some of these other websites have been taken down because they allowed comments. And they've been blocked in certain countries. Zero Hedge now for allowing comments on their website about this event. You've got a website, you can't even allow comments about a public event, you know, an event that happened in the news has to be silenced from the people being able to speak their opinions of it. Now, voiceofeurope.com, several Brits arrested for comments about the New Zealand attack. They currently have three people in custody for offenses relating to comments made about the New Zealand attack. Officers were called to Queensway, Rochdale, to report a taxi driver being abused and threatened by members of the public who were referencing the attack in New Zealand. This goes on and on. It's basically the same story. Now, all the while, an 18-year-old man who just shared the video Friday, this was a week ago yesterday, of the terrorist attack in Christchurch, has been charged with distributing the video and inciting violence. The man allegedly posted a photo of the mosque targeted in Friday's attack with the words "target acquired." He faces up to, wait for it, 28 years in prison. This 18-year-old who just posted the video. I mean, we're in an Orwellian dystopia. You can't post the video. People can't watch the video. People can't read the manifesto. The man who can't be named because of a court order, this guy can't even be named, was not involved in the terrorist attack, but is being charged with one count of sharing an obscene video and another count of inciting violence. Aside from sharing the video and a hateful photo, the man allegedly incited violence through his chat message. The social media platform the man was using has not been revealed either, and it's not clear who, if anyone, saw the message. I'm just reading this from the BBC. The 18-year-old was denied bail by District Judge Stephen O'Driscoll on Monday, and he will return to court on April 8th. The terrorist video was first live streamed by the 28-year-old gunman on Facebook and then spread quickly across platforms like YouTube and Twitter. The gunman, a white supremacist, who cited Donald Trump as a symbol of renewed white identity in his manifesto, killed 50 and wounded dozens more at two mosques before being captured by police. New Zealand censorship laws allow the government to make certain videos illegal to view, possess, and distribute. New Zealand's chief censor, David Shanks, classified the 17-minute video as officially objectionable over the weekend. Well, he deemed it officially objectionable after this 18-year-old actually shared the video. It's officially objectionable. You know, this is where this new, now they're making gigantic broad steps toward internet censorship as we speak. And the Republicans are not going to do anything about it. Donald Trump's not going to do anything about it. The Democons for damn sure ain't going to do anything about it. And it don't look like we the people is going to do anything about it either. Back in moments.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
All right, we're back on the alternative media, Baron in the studio, and I'm running down. You know, if you even Google the Christchurch massacre, the Christchurch shootings, whatever, they're erasing Brenton Tarrant's name from the internet. Okay, most of these stories that I printed in the last couple of days, they don't even mention his name, as the New Zealand Prime Minister said they were going to do. if you look at the manifesto, he wrote in every French city and every French town, the invaders were there. Some of you have watched some of the videos, gates wide open. You've seen some of the Paris videos. And, you know, with the manifesto, he makes the point that different races with different religions, with different worldviews, with different habits, with different practices, with different histories, with different moralities, with different ways, do not cohesively come together and work as a community, which this is all part of the plan. This is why the borders, even though Donald Trump's paid a bunch of lip service and the Republicans have proven themselves to be completely impotent, that's why the border is overflowing. If you read Drudge yesterday, they don't have places to put them all. What's happened to Paris, what's happened to Sweden, what's happened to Germany is going to happen to America. It's not a matter. It doesn't matter who you vote in. You know, I listened to a commentator this past week. Frank asked the perfect question. What are we supposed to do? What is supposed the Republicans, trying to think that the Republicans is going to do something about this situation is laughable. Don't insult my intelligence. Look at what, last Friday they voted to oppose the national emergency. They're useless, gutless, useless, impotent, weaklings, cucks. The Republican Party is a cuck's cuck. All right, so here we go. We talk about the people that have been arrested. You know, this is... You can't have your own opinion. These are thought crimes. It's wrong think. It's opinion crimes. Daring to speak out against the state and the media's mandated narrative. This is where they're taking this. They're successfully taking it this way. You know, I mean, you can see what... In 48 hours, everyone deplatformed Alex Jones. And guess what? Is Congress going to do anything about that or any of this censorship? It's been going on back since BOM, since Barry Satoro. Remember when Lerner was the head of the IRS? This is nothing new. It's incremental. But they're making broad steps now. Broad steps now. And this is just the latest incident. This has been the largest attempted erasure from the internet that we've ever saw. Video and websites, as far as, you know, the manifesto. This is large scale internet censorship, blatant, right in our face, and we're going to see more of it. Now, I don't condone, I'm not saying this is the way, absolutely not. I don't condone this. I'm just reporting on it. I'm telling you what I saw with my own eyes and my own opinions. And when we go to phone calls, I will value yours, and you can certainly share yours. But I've got to move on because, and again, this 18-year-old is not named. He's looking at 28 years in prison. It's totally unbelievable. I wanted to mention, too, a week from yesterday, James Field Jr. will be sentenced, railroaded in Charlottesville. And if anyone's going to that, email me, thealternativemedia@yahoo.com. I'd like to maybe have you on next Saturday and speak briefly about what you see and what happened, if anyone's going to be able to attend that. Now, I've got to move fast to get all this in. I want to get this in this segment. We're going to be moving on off that. We'll probably come back to it, but... We shall see. This past week, Breitbart reported Colorado AG, that's Colorado Attorney General, sheriffs who will not enforce gun confiscation should resign. How about that for a headline? How do you like that one? Colorado's Attorney General, Phil Weiser, said sheriffs who refuse to enforce gun confiscation laws should resign their posts. Democrat lawmakers are pushing a red flag law that will allow a court to issue confiscatory orders, empowering police to go to a gun owner's home and take away his firearms. Yes, it's all here. Remember the caller a couple of months ago said the red flag laws is the way they're going to go? Well, it's going that way. It's going that way with gasoline drawers on. 10 counties have declared themselves Second Amendment sanctuaries. There's one in North Carolina. We'll get to that soon. To signal that they would support their sheriffs in refusing to enforce the confiscation laws. Yeah, some of these people are actually making gun sanctuary cities or counties. How about that for a turn of events? But you'll wait forever. You'll die waiting for Lester Holt to tell you that on NBC Nightly News, okay? Probably Rush Limbaugh, too. Numerous sheriffs have subsequently taken a stand against the red flag laws, and the Colorado Sun quotes A.G. Weiser saying those sheriffs should now resign. Weiser said he respects the law to be challenged in court where he believes it will be upheld, of course. Once upheld, he said sheriffs will be obligated to enforce it, but Well County Sheriff Steve Reams sees it differently. He told Fox News, if you pass an unconstitutional law, our oaths as commissioners or myself as the sheriff, we're going to... follow our constitutional oath first, Logan County Sheriff Brett Powell said. It's time. All right, we're coming up on a break. We'll be back in moments.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, healthcare has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
In the studio, I'm running down this Breitbart story. The Colorado Attorney General is announcing this week that sheriffs that will not enforce gun confiscation should resign. So, they're reporting they've got a million more voters now in Florida. I doubt Trump will win in the next election. They're going to have the economy on its knees by this time next year, or for damn sure by November of next year. So just rest assured, keep that in mind. This goes on to say that there's 10 sheriffs that's not going to go along with this. Logan County Sheriff in Colorado said it's time we quit trying to put lipstick on a pig and start funding mental health facilities instead of trying to take the rights of we the people. Just imagine, it doesn't matter, Trump's gone, Trump's there, whatever. He's going to be leaving, I think. I doubt he'll, the next election is going to be blatantly rigged. And then you're going to have this Green New Deal. You're going to have someone Kamala Harris or someone like that. I don't know, Bernie. Who cares? What difference does it make? Any of these liberal communist buffoons. And you're going to see this red flag laws, this gun confiscation ramped up like you wouldn't believe. So right here's the story on Breitbart. The AG from Colorado, Weiser, wants sheriffs that won't confiscate guns to resign. That's almost about enough said right there. Okay, I want to get into this now. I wanted to do this last week. I passed it on to Steve O'Brien. He reported on it last Sunday, but in case any of you didn't hear, I want to get into this. Now, this is who Trump is going to give the Golan Heights to. I guess you heard that reported this past week. Okay, let's look at who's going to get the Golan Heights. And also, you know, this has been in the news going back to the Six-Day War, 1967. But, well, by golly, you'll grow old waiting for them to tell you about the USS Liberty. What was that, June 8, 1967? But anyway, week before last, a UN independent commission of inquiry on the protest in Gaza presented its findings. No reporting anywhere whatsoever about this. None. Okay? Well, could you imagine if this was North Korea? Could you imagine if this was Iran? What kind of headlines you'd get out of that? Well, the United Nations Security Council would have had to have been convened. But here we go. Geneva, February 28, 2019, the United Nations Independent Commission of Inquiry on the protest in the occupied Palestinian territory today presented its findings. The report focuses on the demonstrations in the Gaza Strip, referred to as the Great March of Return or the Breaking of the Siege. The commission has reasonable grounds to believe that during the Great March of Return, Israeli soldiers committed violations of international human rights and humanitarian law. Some of those violations may constitute war crimes or crimes against humanity and must be immediately investigated by Israel and the chair of the commissions at Santiago Canton of Argentina. The commission was mandated by the Human Rights Council on May 2018 to investigate an alleged violations and abuses of international humanitarian law and international humanitarian rights law in the occupied Palestinian territory. In the context of the large-scale protests that began on March 30th, the commission compromises Santiago Canton of Argentina Chair Sarah Hassan of Bangladesh and Betty Muranga of Kenya. Oh, wow. More than 6,000 unarmed demonstrators. Now, I'm reading the report to you here verbatim, okay? It's going to take me a few minutes, but you need to hear. I'm reading you the report. More than 6,000 unarmed demonstrators were shot by military snipers week after week at the protest sites by the separation fence. Sorry, 6,000 demonstrators unarmed were shot, okay? The commission investigated every killing at the designated demonstration sites by the Gaza separation fence on official protest days. The investigation covered the period from the start of the protest until 31st of December 2018, 189 Palestinians were killed during the demonstrations inside this period. The commission found that Israeli security forces killed 183 of these protesters with live ammunition. 35 of these fatalities were children, while 3 were clearly marked paramedics and 2 were clearly marked as journalists. Now, did you hear what I just said? Through the fence, Israel killed 183 protesters with ammunition, 35 were children, 3 were paramedics trying to help people, and 2 were journalists there to report on it. According to the commission's data analysis, the Israeli forces injured 6,106 Palestinians with live ammunition at the protest site. Another 3,098 Palestinians were injured by bullet fragmentation, rubber-coated metal bullets, or by hits from tear gas canisters. 4 Israeli soldiers were injured at the demonstrations. 4 Israeli soldiers were injured at the demonstrations. 1 Israeli soldier was killed on protest day, but it was not at the protest site, so I don't know what happened there. There can be no jurisdiction for the killing and injuring of journalists, medics, and persons who pose no imminent threat of death or serious injury to those around them. Particularly alarming is the targeting of children and persons with disabilities, said Sarah Hosen. Many young persons' lives have been altered. 122 people have had to have limbs amputated. 20 of these amputees were children. This is not news. NBC News doesn't cover this. Drudge Report doesn't cover this. You'd grow old and die waiting on Sean Hannity to cover it. Rush Limbaugh doesn't cover this. This is news that they would never, ever cover. Now, if this exact same piece of paper had any other country on it, I mean, we can't even separate illegal aliens that bring children here that's not even kin to them. We can't even separate them at the border. It's the biggest hullabaloo you've ever imagined. The commission found reasonable grounds to believe that Israeli snipers shot at journalists, health workers, children, and persons with disabilities, knowing they were clearly recognizable as such. Unless undertaken lawfully in self-defense, intentionally shooting a civilian, not directly participating in any hostilities, is, wait for it, a war crime. The commission found reasonable grounds to believe that individual members of the Israeli security force, in the course of their response to the demonstrations, killed and injured civilians who were not neither directly participating in any type of hostilities nor posing any type of threat. These serious human rights and humanitarian law violations may constitute war crimes and or crimes against humanity. The commission took note of the Israeli claim that the protests by the separation fence masked terror activities by Palestinian armed groups. The commission found, however, that the demonstrations were civilian in nature with clearly stated political aims despite some acts of significant violence. The commission found that the demonstrations did not constitute any type of combat or military campaign. The applicable legal framework was thus based in international human rights law. The assessment did not change, even though the commission's investigation revealed that some demonstrators were members of organized groups. Oh, man, that's that, you know, oh, they're part of a group. We got to kill them. Now, this thing goes on, and I'm just going to skim over. The commission conducted 325 interviews with victims, witnesses, sources, and gathered more than 8,000 documents as part of its investigation. It was a comprehensive analysis of social media and the vast amounts of audio and visual material showing the incidents, including drone footage. So they're just saying they looked at everything. That's why it took them like a year to put this thing together. The commissions will place the relevant information in a file to be handed over to the High Commissioner of Human Rights to provide access to the information to national and international justice mechanisms. The International Criminal Court is already concerned with the situation. If you remember, I done the story. It's been about, I don't know, I can't tell about when I done stories. 6 weeks ago, where Bolton was saying that they would arrest the judges at the International Criminal Court if they tried to hold the United States up for war crimes with what we done in Afghanistan and or Iraq, or if they tried to charge Israel with any type of war crimes. What's the use of having, I mean, if international law is just a complete mockery, if it's just completely biased and directed toward, you know, just the people the United States don't like, what's the use of it? I mean, this right here, I'll finish with this. The large-scale killing and maiming that happened March of last year. In March, there was 18 people killed and over 700 shot. In May, 60 people were killed and over 1,100 people shot. So this thing goes on. I had to go to, guess what, UN.org to get this story. UN.org to get this story. This is who Donald Trump's giving the Golan Heights to. Okay? So, and you know, the USS Liberty happened during the Six-Day War. I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but most of it, what was it in the USS Liberty? Well, I think it was 34 killed and like 170 or 100. It was something like 170 to 175 injured. And, well, you don't see any movies about that now, do you? You're not going to see any movies about what happened to the USS Liberty, are you? All right, I wanted to get that in because that's, you know, I thought there was those that might would want to cover that story, but, well, other than Steve, there really wasn't, you know, and I thought that was an important story, and I wanted to get that out because that they would never cover that in the news. You know, Congress is not going to hold hearings into what happened there. That's swept, buddy. You can consider that swept, okay? All right, how about this? Washington Examiner last week, wait for it, the Iowa Supreme Court ruled unanimously Friday, this is 2 weeks ago yesterday, that Medicaid must cover gender transition surgeries, reasoning that the procedures are medically necessary. Did you hear that, Mr. Taxpayer? The Iowa Supreme Court ruled unanimously, all of them for it, that Medicaid must cover gender transition surgeries, reasoning that the procedures are medically necessary. Arianna Good and Carol Ann Beal, transgender women backed by the ACLU, had sued the Iowa Department of Human Services for its policy against funding transition surgeries, calling it discriminatory. The DHS had considered transition surgeries to be cosmetic without medical purpose, but Iowa Supreme Court Justice Susan Christensen wrote that the DHS existing bar on Medicaid coverage for gender-affirming surgical procedures discriminates against the transgender Medicaid recipients in Iowa. Under Iowa civil rights law in 2007, Iowa legislators added gender identity to the Iowa Civil Rights Act. That's right, folks. If you were born male and you have an overwhelming urge to get your genitalia removed, the American taxpayers will pay for it, at least if you're living in Iowa and you're on Medicaid. You see that one anywhere in the news? All right, this is, I guess this will be your good news segment. A sparsely populated mountain county in North Carolina has declared itself a gun sanctuary county. How about that? You know, we did the Colorado story, the AG, and it intends to defy attempts by federal or state governments to enforce strict gun control measures. You know, people's always talking about call your congressman, call the White House. Maybe be better off to call your county commissioners and tell them, you know, let's make this county a gun sanctuary county. Let's not accept any federal mandated laws about gun confiscation, or the state legislature neither. Cherokee County passed a 3-page resolution with a slim 3-2 vote after resolution author Dan Eichenbaum told fellow commissioners that the first thing dictators do is confiscate guns. Among the provisions is a warning that Cherokee County will not authorize or appropriate government funds, resources, employees, agencies, contractors, buildings, detention centers, or offices for the purpose of enforcing laws, orders, mandates, rules, or regulations that infringe on the right by the people to give and bear arms. Just so you know, Cherokee County is one of North Carolina's most western counties with a population of 27,000, and it borders that of both Georgia and Tennessee. So, you know, if you're looking for some activism, I think calling your congressman is useless. I think calling the White House is useless. That's my opinion. Do what you want to. I'm not telling you what to do. But that might be actually a way to get something done. I know some people's going to say, well, that's just totally symbolic. But, you know, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. A lot of that's going to rely on the sheriff you got. Now, I know most of the big counties in North Carolina don't have much of a sheriff, okay? But some of the smaller counties still do. All right? So, if you're looking for a way to fight this thing politically, that may be an avenue. Now, if you're standing, sit down. If you're sitting, you might want to lay down. This is coming in from Ungrate. British woman in trouble with police for misgendering a tranny online. Now, you've seen the acid in the face. You've heard me do the stories. They're teaching eighth graders in Ungrate to treat stab wounds. You've heard the stories where they're trying to make rape-proof panties for women to wear in Germany. Also, the manifesto that Brenton Tarrant put out had a list of the most evil people, in his opinion, in power across Europe, and was interesting reading. But anyway, here we go. DailyMail.uk ran the story. A devout Catholic and mother is subject of a 5-month, yeah, 5 months, almost half a year. What's that, 150 days? Investigation after she was accused of calling a transgender woman a he on Twitter. Did you hear that? Look at where this is going. We just talked about the censorship in the first half of this hour. Now I know, you know, we're talking about Ungrate here, but a devout Catholic and mother is the subject of a 5-month police investigation after she's accused of calling a transgender woman a he on Twitter. That's the police investigating for 5 months. What? The misuse of a pronoun? Do you see where this is going? Caroline Farrow, a broadcaster and writer for the Roman Catholic newspaper, said she had a phone call from an officer on Monday asking her to comply with an interview. Ms. Farrow said she may have posted the suspect tweet following an appearance on Good Morning Britain last September, during which she took part in a debate on transgender children. She said she was prepared to go to jail, adding, "I don't know what I'm suspected to have done. The only thing I can think of is that I may have referred to the 23-year-old transgender woman as someone's son. I try at all times to be polite on Twitter, but it is my belief on both a religious and scientific basis that you cannot change the sex into which you were born." Well, you don't have the right to have your opinions on sex or religion or anything else. Don't you know, peasants, you must submit, you must comply, you must lick the boot of the state, you must comply to their narrative, and like a good little slave, you don't have the right to have any type of religious standing on what you might believe or have any kind of moral core beliefs yourself. You must lick the boot of the state, no matter what kind of super filthiness and depravity we ram down your throat, you serf, you knave.
Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now.
May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it. At AROutfitting.com.
Studio running down the insane news of the week. Now, to get back to the story about the lady that's being charged in Ungrate. Sentences for those found guilty under this act can be as long as 2 years. The law makes it a crime to send a message, to send messages that are indecent or grossly offensive, threatening, or contain information which is false or believed to be false, if the purpose for sending it is to cause distress or anxiety. The Twitter incident followed a studio debate between Miss Farrow and Susie Green, a transgender campaigner whose daughter Jackie is transgender. Miss Farrow also stated, to the horror of everyone, that she thought marriage should be between a man and a woman. Miss Farrow said she's worried and alarmed following the call to police. She wrote on Twitter that she didn't remember any of the tweets, and she may have said he or son or something. I have done nothing wrong, nothing illegal, and will be happy to do jail time for my right to say that people cannot change their sex. So maybe we can follow up on this story if anyone follows up on it at all. But I just wanted to let you know that the insanity is happening where if you even use the wrong pronoun going forward, they're going to try to put you in jail. That's how far they're going to take this. You know, never talk about the white population's 8% of the world population, 2% of only 2% of the world population is white women of childbearing age. None of that. The white race has got to be genocided. It's got to be erased. Anything they say needs to be criminalized, and so they can go to jail for using the wrong pronoun. I wanted to get this in quick, and everyone bear with me. It's probably going to be about bottom of the hour before I can take phone calls. I got a couple of things that I know is not being reported that I want to get out. But real quickly, for multiple days in a row, this is Nashville, Tennessee. Nashville police say an estimated 100 drivers of dirt bikes, motorcycles, all-terrain vehicles, and four-wheelers have took to the streets and wove in and out of parked and moving vehicles, endangering motorists and pedestrians alike. Officers said in a press release that vehicles had illegally took over a major Nashville road Saturday. This is a week ago today. In the afternoon, said Sergeant John Bark, who was dragged. He was dragged. He tried to tackle one. He was dragged and slung into the street. Now, 100 people, this is all coordinated on Facebook or Twitter or some kind of social platform. But guess what? Facebook can't seem to find that. They can't alert the police to that. And so all these people, it's organized. They take to the streets. It's lawless mayhem in the streets. You got to see the video. I couldn't believe it. NBC Nightly News actually ran the story. Lester Holt actually ran the story. Wilding, lawless mayhem in the streets. And the police said they didn't know what to do about it. I'm going to tell them what to do about it. Bring back the net. Has anybody ever watched Planet of the Apes? Bring back the net. The net works. Bring back the lasso, too. Lawless, wilding mayhem in the streets of America. This progressiveness is going so good.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.